And let's talk Virginia politics and the gubernatorial race, because, you know, the absentee voting starts, the early voting starts April 28th, in-person absentee voting in the Commonwealth of Virginia for this very important upcoming election. So good time to check in and see where things stand. Joining us on the line is Dr. Stephen Farnsworth, a Virginia political analyst. Good to have you with us, Dr. Farnsworth.
Glad to be here.
He's a professor of political science and international affairs at University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg. Okay, so there's been this little controversy in Prince William County. One of the candidates for this race is Corey Stewart, and he has sort of made a point in his campaign of saying that one of the things he wants to do if he becomes governor is protect the Confederate history in the state, which has come under attack in some quarters, and now he's catching a lot of flack for that.
Well, it seems to me that this is a campaign strategy that would have been more successful 15 or 20 years ago within the Republican Party. It's important to remember that Virginia is changing very rapidly, and that's true for Democrats and Republicans both. And the idea that a central theme should be the Confederate flag and Confederate memorial will have some support among Republicans, but it won't really be a powerful message among the Republicans across the state.
And so a lot of people have jumped on him about it. In fact, he's even lost some endorsements that had come his way.
That's right. There are five Republican supervisors on the Prince William County Board, and four of the five just the other day came out for Ed Gillespie, the more establishment Republican in this race, who's ahead in the polls, but also is gaining more support in areas of Northern Virginia where, again, the Confederate message is not likely to resonate as well as it might in other more rural parts of the state.
Just to clean that one little thing up about that, apparently the other members of the board had decided to remain neutral, even though Ed Gillespie had asked for their endorsement. But after this Confederate thing became such an issue in his campaign, they decided they needed to weigh in on the side of Ed Gillespie, correct?
That's right. And there's still one Republican on the board that is neutral on this question. But the issue of the Confederate flag was listed as the key reason that a number of his Republican colleagues in Prince William have decided not to support him.
It contrasts that with what Ed Gillespie is running as, is his central theme.
Yeah, the central question that Ed Gillespie is trying to deal with in his seat, seeking the Republican nomination for governor, is a focus on lower taxes. This is a more traditional, effective Republican message, in my view, because there is a great deal of concern about the size of government. This is a major Republican theme. And it's important to remember, too, that Ed Gillespie has some political success. He was the Republican who almost beat Mark Warner back in 2014 for the Senate race. And Mark Warner has long been seen as among the most untouchable of Virginia Democrats in terms of his electoral success. But he almost lost to Ed Gillespie. So Gillespie does have a lot of support among Republicans who are looking at who is the most viable candidate in a general election.
Yeah, well, taxes seems to be a much more viable platform, and one that reaches far more people, including maybe more moderate Democrats who are willing to say, you know what, I'm paying too much in taxes. I'm starting to see this effect in my pocketbook. So maybe I will vote for the Republican because that is a more winnable platform. It seems to be anyway.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that one of the ways that Republicans are most effective when they reach out to swing voters is not through the conservative message of a socially conservative agenda or some sort of historical revisionism dealing with the question of the Civil War once again, but rather this question of taxes. A lot of cross-pressured voters are those people who might be more inclined to support the Democrats on social issues. They may be more supportive of gay rights or less willing to restrict abortion, but are still thinking taxes are too high.
I have to say, I haven't looked at any polling data on the Republican side of the equation. How is it looking? Have there been any recent polls that give you some sense of where Virginians are coming down on that primary?
Yeah, the polls do show an advantage for Ed Gillespie, as you might expect. He's a statewide figure. He's relatively well known, having run in a statewide race just a few years ago. Corey Stewart is relatively well known in Northern Virginia, but that's a double-edged sword for Corey Stewart because some Republicans like him, some Republicans don't. It's important to remember that he has been getting a lot of attention for his connection with the Trump campaign during the 2016 election, but in the end he was fired by the Trump campaign or disassociated from the Trump campaign because he went too far even for the Trump campaign. So there is a bit more recognition of Corey Stewart and who he is in Northern Virginia, but that's not necessarily an unalloyed benefit for him.
And Frank Wagner?
Well, Frank Wagner's the third name on the Republican side in this race, but he tends to be far back in the polls as well. He's a politician out of Hampton Roads who has a successful career legislatively. He's clearly a candidate who has gotten things done in the legislature, but he tends not to have the visibility of either Ed Gillespie with his experience as a candidate or Corey Stewart with his more, more explosive approach to political issues.
All right, let's take a look at the Democratic side of the equation. How's that shaping up?
Well, here we really are looking at a real close race, according to the polls so far. You have a populist candidate in Tom Perriello, who was a congressman out of Charlottesville, who lost his seat in part because he supported Obamacare when it was originally passed. And he's coming up against Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam, who tends to have a lot more support from more establishment Democrats, including those in Richmond.
And look ahead, if you could look into your crystal ball, and right after the election on November 7th, who do you think is going to be the governor? Who do you think is going to come out of this ahead?
I really think this election will turn on the question of Donald Trump and how the Donald Trump presidency is faring.
Okay, so this will be a referendum.
Yeah, I think that both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to be focusing on Donald Trump and his time in office to make the argument that he's doing well or he's not doing well. And so I think that a lot of the decisions that a lot of voters are going to make will have less to do with the candidates actually on the ballot and more to do with the president who's not, because Virginia is sort of an early national bellwether for how a president is doing. Just Virginia and New Jersey have governor's races this year. And because the Democrats are very, very strongly favored in New Jersey, Virginia is really going to be ground zero for that question of how the Trump message is faring 1 year in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting race to watch as we get closer and get past the primaries. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, Dr. Stephen Farnsworth, for giving us your assessment of it. Let me just give you the dates very quickly. April 28th, just a couple of days away, in-person absentee voting begins. May 22nd is the voter registration deadline. June 6th is the deadline to apply for an absentee ballot by mail. June 10th is the final day of in-person absentee voting, and absentee ballot returns must be turned in by June 13th by 7 p.m. So there are the important dates as we move forward through this primary process.